about us.
Right. You're the second game in primetime, at least on radio.
Here's what they think about you in Memphis. We'll give you all the Dolphins, Raiders. Is that regional?
I think it's the whole country is what ESPN will air. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I can't say I understand that one, but I don't know what the slate is. I'm sure can you not air national television games on
radio?
They
have alternate rights, and they're trying to work around probably. That's why Bears, Panthers probably works because it's out of region.
Right.
You know?
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
All right, we'll come back. Got an update for you on that Cooper Flagg card. Remember how it was pulled? We set the number at $1.5 million. What would you sell it for? You said you would not.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what Jason Williams, who is the owner of the card now, not that Jason Williams, but I can tell you what he said. So I'll have an update for you there and more. Stick around, J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. And it includes no teams from the SEC, so cut it!
I was going to say.
This is a Big Ten sport.
Need the Big Ten anthem.
Ohio State, number one. Oregon, number two. We don't see an SEC team until number three. Unbelievable. What a fall from grace for the SEC.
Three straight.
Ohio State, Oregon, 1-2, Georgia, 3. Do you have Notre Dame? Let's ask Joe. Joe Theismann coming in at number 4. They actually got 6 first-place votes, believe it or not.
He's happy about that.
Golly, what a joke.
It's setting up to be a big year.
That's
why you stuffed it down his ear.
What a joke by me. I mean, it is that time of year. Damn cornball. So Notre Dame 4th, Texas 5th, Indiana 6th, Miami 7th, Texas A&M 8th, Ole Miss coming in at 9. You know, obviously some big respect. I don't know what they were in the coaches poll, but coming in at 9.
Right around there.
And then Oklahoma at 10. LSU 11. I'm just going to go through like the notable people here. Alabama 13. Michigan at 16, even though it's a new coach there in Kyle Whittingham. Tennessee, number 20. So the Vols are in. So there you go. Memphis, I know you're wondering, where was Memphis? They were in the ORV category, others receiving votes. They got 2 votes. So, hey, it's better than none. UNLV, who Memphis opens the season with on the road in Vegas, got 4 votes. Boise State got 43, which would put them, going by votes here and points, it would put them 28th in the country. Navy, 10 votes in the American. So
more than they got, if I'm not mistaken, more than they got in the coaches' poll.
So that would be, I mean, if you go by, again, votes, it would go 1-2, Navy and then Memphis. Tulane did get 1 vote. So 3 teams from the American got a vote in the AP poll. Not terrible. That was a relevant conference for sure. I don't know that I would have Memphis in my top 40, but I mean, or whatever that ends up breaking out to, but that's fine. So there you have it. The AP poll is out.
So weird to see Tulane get a vote, but not South Florida, which clearly has more.
Yep.
And you have the more high profile hire there in Heartline. Certainly that over Will Hall at Tulane. So I don't, that's odd to me. Clearly Memphis's place in it is significant to us. There's a respect for Navy that seems to be there in terms of the sports books and everything else. Navy that's replacing Blake Horvath.
Yep.
But some seem high on their ability to was it Newberry over there on his ability to do so. What's my Braxton something is the quarterback there. I don't know his. I haven't committed his name to memory yet. But was the backup there, played enough that some of these analysts feel pretty good about him stepping in. There's no way he's as good as Horvath, I wouldn't think, because Horvath was such a good player. But that said, there seems to be a pretty, I don't know, you're not going to say it's unanimous, but a pretty good feeling that Navy's going to be that team again in the American based on what they've got. You have to salute it. You have to salute what they're doing when they don't have the level of investment you do.
Yep.
I mean, clearly, for them to, you know, whether it's Navy or Army, their ability to be competitive in this league, and I guess Navy's still looking for its first title in the American, is pretty darn impressive. Says a lot about the coaching at those places.
Yes, it does. I mean, the fact that they got it set up like that, like you said, is pretty damn amazing. Now, again, I think we're kind of underrating Blake Horvath here, you know, just to assume that the next guy's going to step in and be able to do the same things. But, I mean, I guess I get it, the benefit of the doubt. It is the triple option. It is what they – or it's not really the triple – I mean, it is, but it's a hybrid. So to just call it that would probably be a little, you know, a little disingenuous. But yeah, you know, obviously it feels like for Memphis, it's going to be Navy or Army that you're going to have to go through. You play both. So there you go. I did realize today that Memphis does not have to play UTSA this year. So I guess the rivalry died when Silverfield left.
I mean, do you want to play UTSA? You certainly don't want to play them down there.
Yeah. No, they never win. So yeah, I guess it's for the best. So anyway, the AP poll is out. No real huge surprises. And Ohio State is on top.
Scottie Scheffler, a 4-under-66 yesterday, gave him an 8-shot victory. It's the largest margin in 68 years. Out at TPC Southwind, was the 11th straight time he converted a 54-hole lead into a win. The victory was the 21st of his career, all of them since 2022, and it ended a 7-month drought without a title during a season that has been marked, as the AP wrote, by astonishing consistency, but only the one trophy to show for it. Now that he's got two this season, as we said, it put him in elite company as most consecutive multi-win seasons. Phil Mickelson holds the record, 2004-09, six of those. Scottie Scheffler's now got five of them. Now from 2022 to 26, now able to win multiple times this year on tour with two. That ties him with Tiger Woods, who did it from 05 to 09 and again from 1999 to 2003. So he's in. It's the way he's dominating,
yes,
that has put him in elite company in terms of the best stretches of golf that we've seen from some of the best golfers ever. Scheffler, $3.6 million from the prize fund, and he clinched an additional $23 million in bonus monies for being number one in the FedEx Cup through next week's BMW Championship. No one can catch him. No one is particularly close in the game at the moment, even when he's not piling up trophies, as the AP wrote. Two victories, five runner-up finishes, and five other top fours this year. The consistency, Brad,
yes,
remarkable. Did you get a chance to get out there and see it, Brad, for yourself?
I did not. I did not make it. I'm sorry. It was too hot.
But you know what? I think a part of John and I respect that. It was your finger sign to the PGA, basically saying, you know what? You're out of here. I ain't supporting it, even though I've got.
Brad, you were so excited about it.
You were excited about going with this.
I really was. And then I mowed my lawn on Saturday. Jake was at a card show. I said, live your best life until you leave for college. I left him off the hook. So I was tired, got inside in the air. I looked at it. It was 110 degrees, like feels like temperature. And I thought, you know, I am the producer for J&J. I am a Memphian tried and true. I am all in on this. And when I listen to this show say, you know, it's great that they're here, but screw you, FedEx St. Jude Championship. You're leaving after next year. I said, you know, I don't really need to go. I don't need to go. Somebody else could go.
Don't put this on us.
Wow, you're putting it on us.
Don't put this
you're
on us.
I was listening to the propaganda on the J&J show as your producer, and I thought, you know, the vibes, I mean, I'm sure it's great.
It's not like propaganda, because John and I, we choose Memphis. We choose to be here. We choose to live here. We're staying.
Same. I'm all in.
That's not propaganda.
I'm all in.
Any propaganda is going to be coming from the PGA Tour about the challenge.
Right. Now, and that is no cap. By the way, this Munns column, like the Hail Mary, thoughts on that? Is that going to work?
You know what? I have not read it, so I cannot speak to it. But
the idea that this could still turn.
I refuse to beg the PGA at this point and to hold out hope.
Holding out hope seems a little foolish, but
did you see the attendance on television? And it's 150 degrees outside.
Oh, they crazy. Couldn't get you out there, though.
I can't eat barbecue when it's 150 degrees. I'm sorry. I told Stacey.
You
said
had flogged like you were going and everything.
I know.
Gonna wear
I was
the
all
Pochettino
in.
Double-breasted pocket shirt.
I had Pochettino
and the
ready
man
to go.
Mowed his lawn and was out.
I'm like, I can't do it. I had to go to the hospital, too, for my mother-in-law, so prayers up for mom. But,
okay.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that put a damper on it. But I still could have made time if I really wanted to.
Is she okay?
You know, we got work to do, but because
I would say, like, you know, that
we all
would,
got stuff going on.
That would give me an out.
I wouldn't right? call
I'd
it
say,
an out.
I would like, say, like, well, I'm not saying an out to not go. It would give me the out to go.
I still,
you know,
yeah,
I'd be like,
oh,
you,
right.
You got to go deal with your mother.
Yeah.
I got to go to the golf tournament. Good luck. Let me know.
We
how
got
to
a lot
go. You know what I'm saying?
There.
You don't. Yeah. You don't need right. me there. I need to go to this golf tournament, which I have said publicly how excited I am to attend. Only to get cold feet when the time comes. I mean, that's a tough one.
I realize it's a disappointment.
It is a disappointment, you know, because some people were out there earning, you know, they took their hats off. You could see how pale their foreheads were.
Yeah.
And then how dark their bottom half of their face was. Scottie Scheffler, my kids were getting a kick out of it because they looked like two completely different pigments because of the sun in Memphis, you know.
I was, as I cleaned out my flower bed this weekend, I did think about those golfers and the kind of shape you have to be in, because I'm sweating, you know, just pulling some freaking weeds out of some dirt for 5-6 minutes.
Yeah, me too.
And some of that's in some shade.
Yeah.
I can't imagine playing, whether it's high school football right now, whether you're trying to, you know, win a second event on tour this year like Scottie Scheffler's trying to, getting anything done effectively in this heat. And what we've had of late, and there's some days this week that are like that. To do that, I just have to tip my cap to be able to operate in this and to set the record. You know, an eight stroke win was the biggest we've seen in the 68 years. So to do that in this heat, man, you got to be a true athlete. We've had that comment. Scottie Scheffler's that's an athlete right there that can get this done in that heat, no question.
It is. You know, I mean, he was the precision, you know, like it was getting the better of Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth was losing his mind out there.
Yep.
On Sunday, you know.
Or you're out there cooking. So to perform in that's athleticism.
That's
in that kind of heat.
That's what the best do. I mean, they rise to the occasion. The temperature rises, they rise with it.
Well, this is 69 to 70 best.
That's right. Daniel Berger, of course, did not make it because he was quote unquote injured. But yeah, that was a fitting champ, no doubt about that. Scottie Scheffler, number one in the world for, let's be honest, the number one tournament on the tour, not according to, you know,
it is number one on the tour for me.
Not according. Well, I mean,
if it weren't going, I probably would have made an effort, but it's leaving.
Yeah,
okay. And I could have still gone on Sunday. And by the way, the ticket did get used, so the ticket did not go unused.
Look, I didn't even. I had Jason and I were both invited by the great J.J. Greer.
Hey-o.
He invited us on Thursday. You know, I literally could not physically go because of kid duty. I'm sure you had some things going on. So, you know, it's tougher on a weekday. Mm. Had I gotten invited on Sunday, for example, is it possible that I would have gone? Maybe, but, it's hard. Again, my point is I can't really judge you for not going because I myself did not go. But I did not say I was going.
I said I was going.
And that is something that you are going to have to be held to account for.
Rest of my life, I'm going to have to live with that. How about Jack Sammons? Did you see him on 18 with a full friggin' blazer and a suit on?
That's crazy.
I mean, that is insanity. I mean, standing there the whole time, I'm like, that dude is going to pass out. Jack Sammons.
Salute to him and everything he's done to keep the...
Oh, for sure.
But, you know...
He was on the Golf Channel. I listened...
Promote that tournament.
I had the PGA Tour Sirius XM in my ears, so I was following it very closely. Very closely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, great stuff.
Glad you could follow it closely.
Yeah.
I was I was engaged. Like, I wouldn't want to just, screw it.
Well, I do know that they appreciated you getting out there on Saturday and contributing to the attendance in the gallery and everything like that. So, maybe we do multiple days, you know, out there next year for sure.
Go right ahead.
I ain't gonna blame nobody. Like, I really ain't. Like, the only reason why I'm giving Brad a little grief is because he said he was going, but that's fine.
I said that I was going. No, I deserve it.
I understand why people don't go. I understand why you would have, like, you know, your own resentment and hesitation about it because he's leaving. Like, F it. I said that.
Well, that and the fact it was 100 degrees out there.
I mean,
you might have had good intentions, but just like Brad,
yeah,
you had to mow or did something early on and took you out.
Yeah. See, like, this is why, you know, you got to get that landscaping company, bro.
Yeah, it's expensive. It adds up, though.
It is expensive, but...
And I'm replanting some Bermuda that's got spots in it. It's like alopecia grass out there. I had to put a little... I was working on that.
Like, this is going to sound like privilege, but, like, there's a lot of purchases that I make that I end up, like, feeling like, why am I doing this? Why am I paying for this? Paying for a landscaping company to handle my yard is never one of them.
I also have an 18-year-old, so it's a lot easier.
Well, he's moving.
Yeah, he is in a week.
So you're losing your...
landscape
your
artist.
Your slave labor is moving to, off to college. So what is your plan for that? How do you plan?
It's going to be all dad. It'll be all dad. And honestly, I need the movement at 50. You do need the move. I need the movement.
I'm not 50.
I really do.
I feel that.
You do your own lawn as well?
No, I don't. I don't mow it.
Okay.
But my flower beds have become overgrown. My yard man was not tending to them as I would like. And so I had to man up and get out there and bust up the shift robe this weekend myself. Now, what ended up happening was I got into a bout with the poison ivy.
Oh, Jason, you now, got it,
half
dog.
Half of my body now covered in the poison ivy and the calamine.
We had to warn our listeners for that.
And all they got was a sex
show. See it on the cam there.
Was some straight abs.
That sucks.
But my point is, you get hands-on.
I've had that done.
And that's why, back to John's point, it's probably more worth it to pay out that little money, have somebody else
I need
it,
the movement. In fact, if you read about the blue zones, which is the people who live the longest, they say the people that live the longest have a garden. We almost have a garden in our backyard. It was an Asian couple that owned it, and they had a koi pond back there. Now, I didn't keep the koi pond, but we planted the greens, and we planted a bunch of stuff. We got pear trees back there. We've got an apple tree. We've got roses, and it's a tender.
You know what it did for me last week? It having the project helped me not think about the nicotine.
Good.
That I was not smoking.
See, it is healthy for you, Jason.
And now I'm a weekend. So,
yeah.
So having the project and
you're
something
moving.
To put my mind on exactly was what it really helped.
Good for
me.
You.
So we did it. We got the poison ivy.
Love it.
That's okay. But we got the nicotine
John?
Out. Nicotine
That's
out.
That's great.
See, it helps with vices. It helps me with vices. Like listening to that and doing that work. I was out. I got
work your own land.
I looked at the step counter.
I'm working it.
13,000 steps on Saturday.
I mean, I get the benefits of it, but you know, I mean, I'm not. It's not incredibly expensive for me to get. I mean, it's $1,800 a year.
Now my old yard man sees this as an opportunity to get back in, as opposed to a man standing up. He says, "I used to take care of that flower bed for you."
We got an opening.
You fired him.
Yeah, we moved on because he was getting a little pricey. As he would tell me, you get what you pay for, don't you, old smoothie? To get out there and do it yourself.
He went up on you.
He had gotten a little pricey.
That's the thing. It's like I was getting what I paid for at one point, but now you're going up on me.
You know how they do.
Does the quality go with it? I mean, that's what you have to ask.
Well, again, when I came down, my quality has now gone down to where I had to be in my own flower beds. I didn't have to do that when I was paying the note, I was paying the strength. As they would say.
My landscaping, I don't know exactly how it all breaks down. I'd have to go through and look at the contract, but I know that it gets cut basically once a week in the summer, right?
Yep.
And bi-weekly other times, and then they do like a mulch, and then they do the gutters and everything like that. I pay $1,800 a year.
Man, that seems like a lot.
I don't know what you pay, but it doesn't feel like a lot when I'm like literally having to do none of that. Does that track about with what you pay? Are you lower than that?
I'm lower.
Lower now. But do you get what I'm getting?
We're going to reassess at the end of season.
Yeah.
Again, in this case, there's personal interest. There's a relationship there, trying to support. You know what I'm saying? But if you're not getting back,
you're not satisfied with the work.
If you're not getting back, if you're not getting a reciprocation of quality back, you know, in the end, it's business.
It is business.
It's got to be business.
Your price isn't bad, actually. If you did 20 weeks at $50, that's $1,000 right off the gate.
Right.
So is he doing beds and everything?
Well, I don't know. I think he's doing once a year on the mulch, like I said.
With the remulch?
But I have a massive backyard that's very complicated to cut.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know how I would handle it on my own. And so, you know, it probably comes out to, you know, $80 a
not
week.
Bad.
You know,
that's
for,
not bad.
But they do gutters
full
as well.
Service.
Yeah. And I don't feel like I'm getting got over.
No, I don't.
You know what I mean?
I think they're charging you out properly.
And again, I don't even have to think about it. I don't even have to lift a lily white finger to you know, you like it. It's something
I have to do. It
keeps
yeah.
you. It keeps you from your cocaine habit, and that's great.
Exactly.
But you know, for me, like it's like I just would rather not.
Well, with three kids too, you got to prioritize. I get that.
Again, the more I get into this, the more I'm like trying to find stuff to get away from them. Like, you know, give me, I'll do an hour of honeydews, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll do, you know what I mean? Like,
will young Dom cut for you when he's 13?
You know, fair question. It's early.
Okay.
I think there's some work ethic there, though. I think, you know, he does what he's told.
Good.
We say bedtime. He says goodnight. He gets his ass upstairs. It's time to go to bed. So I think there's a lot, like, he's a good dog, I would say. He's a good dog, does what he's asked. So we'll see if it stays that way, you know. But I would like to stop paying for it and make Dom do it. There's no question. I mean, you got to benefit off your unpaid labor.
For the last, gosh, I think he started when he was 12.
Is CJ's time coming?
My wife says it should be.
He's getting to be that age.
So does his uncle.
But ooh, lots of pressure.
I'd have to then buy a mower.
That's true.
Yeah,
for him to use.
You got to have a mower.
So then you know what inevitably happened. He'd cut off his finger. I'd regret it for the rest of my life.
Oh, you can get one of those battery powered. Battery powered is much safer. That's what we have. The battery powers with the 50 volt are solid. You plug that sucker in, it's ready to go. You don't have to screw around with gas. No, it's actually very quiet now. They have refined the technology on those things.
Who handled the housework for Les Smith back in the day? Or the
were
yard
apartment
work?
Living, bro, so we didn't have a yard.
Mm. Got it.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, that's part of the...
My Midtown was apartment living for the Smiths.
Got it. Well...
My dad got on my ass.
I mean, know you were on the farm.
Brother.
You had to milk the cows, mow the grass.
There's all sorts of stuff going on. He had car washes. I cleaned the bays. They would have manure that they would clean. These farmers would go into those open bays. It wasn't the pay car wash. It was the coin operated.
Yeah, not
the drive-through.
Right.
And he'd go, Brado, get your ass over there and get that bay cleaned up. And then I'd do the vacuums. I did make money out of the vacuums at a car wash because the coins get sucked up in the vacuums. I can make a couple $100 because people get them coins. I'd roll them and go to the bank with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Your dad didn't like to see you sitting around doing nothing.
He's an old
huh?
hard ass.
So yeah. I get it. I respect that for sure. Yeah.
But that shouldn't be my excuse. Next year, I'm actually going to go to the finale, and I'm not just joking. I'm not saying that.
You
no,
think we're going
to no.
believe that?
Believe
today?
Me, Jay. I am going.
Break.
It's the final one.
You're just saying last
one.
Week you're going to this one.
Next year it should be a show of force like no other. I don't even, and it is the same week almost. So that's the suck ass part. It's going to be hot, but still, I'm going to go. I'm going to force myself to go.
Yeah, I don't want to hold you to it, man, because I don't want to be let down again.
I know.
Exactly.
So I think we can revisit this
We'll go through it a year.
Yeah, let's go through it a year from now. Will Brad attend one day of the FESJC, the final week?
That's it.
Except according to Munz. Munz says he's coming back, so.
No, he didn't, but he's got a column up.
Munz said, don't stop believing. Basically, right?
Yeah.
Hold on to that.
There's
beat.
Always hope. Basically, it was a successful event again. And until that last announcement is made
right,
by the PGA on the champions, it's never done.
It's going to take money. Like, you need, that's how we got it. We got FedEx. It's BMW's getting St. Louis at Bellerive this coming weekend. So it's if AutoZone steps up like they do for the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, maybe we'll have the AutoZone, championship or something.
Yeah, I feel like he wasn't even listening to Journey when he wrote that, bro. He was listening to Lenny Kravitz. Mm-hmm. He was listening to It Ain't Over Till It's Over. It ain't over till it's over.
That's a good track.
Come on, Lenny.
Yeah.
Come on, Lenny Kravitz. He should sing at the. He should open up the proceedings next year. Lenny Kravitz. It ain't over till it's over, baby. We're gonna stand in front of TPC Southwind. You can't leave us. You can't do this to us on the PGA Tour. Anyway, congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. Congratulations to your Bermuda out there. Got some attention this weekend, some TLC.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not sure why I'm doing this, Jason, but congrats to you, man. Congrats to you.
It's living every day.
All right, congrats to J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt has been elevated, of course, as we know, to CBS's lead NFL booth alongside Jim Nantz. But according to Front Office Sports, the job may already be his to lose. One source tells Front Office Sports that the decision on Romo may already be made. Quote, they demand loyalty. But give none at CBS. And, of course, we don't know anything further as CBS is, handling that internal investigation. But what we do know, and what is very public, is the amount of money that Tony Romo makes and the contract that he was given. And so this is obviously an opportunity to bring in a guy like J.J. Watt who will make less money. Tony Romo is not scheduled to appear in court until September 21st. At the FOS says, the unspoken impression I got after interviewing multiple people at the CBS event last week was that they think the job is now Watt's to lose. Whether that would mean Romo would get demoted to the number two team with, was it Ian Eagle, shift to the studio or leave the network altogether, remains to be seen. So I don't know. Feels like Tony Romo would not take that demotion unless it was the only way he could get paid. Like, they say, either you take the demotion to the number two team or we fire you with cause. Okay, I understand that. Anything outside of that, I'd say he's just going to say, fire me and let me just go do nothing to get the money, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a tough one. He doesn't need to do it. Made an NFL. I mean, do you have any opinions on J.J. Watt as an analyst?
Not yet.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen enough. Again, the studio work he's done, he brings the energy, whatever else. But games different. You've got to do the production work beforehand. We'll see, you know, how much work he's willing to do.
Yep.
It's two different jobs, so
it is.
Need to see him for more time to have a real opinion on him as a analyst, game analyst.
Exactly right. So anyway, CBS likes him. You know, they say he understands the medium of television. He understands the medium of social media. He's quick, clever, smart, hardworking. So obviously this is a great opportunity to do that, but CBS continues to assess the Romo situation with no timetable for his return. They did say that the brand and the image is important to us at CBS. So, you know, not a great look when you're out there on the body cam getting the, you know, doing the Dak Prescott pregame snap.
Oh, man, those have gone on. As have folks have gotten all over Jaden Daniels about the five, and I'm not going to do five because – the memes of those yeah. have taken off over the weekend.
Yeah. Like the Mets posted
a lot in baseball. Yes.
Yeah, graphic of their 4-1 win. They said stopped at 4 so we didn't offend Jaden Daniels.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Oh man.
So
and apparently, mom has been. Folks have gone back now and found old of interviews with her where. You know, she makes it sound like she's going to, one of her jobs is, of course, protecting Jaden from relationships, you know, from gold diggers. You know, women that might be after him from a vulture standpoint.
Honeys.
Which is, I mean, frankly, it's going to happen to most professional athletes in terms of being targeted. It can happen. So having someone, you know, looking out for you makes a lot of sense. But the point, it almost sounded like a mom that's more interested in being his woman. As opposed to his mom.
It's a little
dun,
different.
Dun, dun.
It's a, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I can't really speak to that one. But yeah. By the way, one more NFL bit of media news. Tom Pelissero, who was laid off by ESPN a couple weeks ago, has landed at Netflix.
He's good.
So that's a soft landing, if I've ever seen one, right? Go from ESPN to Netflix. He will be joining Netflix Game Day as a sideline reporter and NFL insider for the full slate of games this year. He will also co-host the Ringer NFL show and contribute across the NFL Ringers, the Ringers NFL podcast, including a weekly appearance on the Bill Simmons podcast.
I like that Netflix stuff. They did the Field of Dreams game last week. Their coverage is, I mean, when they get those HD cams up and you just pull it up on your Netflix.
Got the money.
It's great. Mm. It's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's new.
So yeah, it's like new it. And yeah. It's clean. Like mm-hmm. it.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, that's your media scoop for Monday, August 17th. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Do I have to talk? Damn. It ain't over till it's. Really, quite the jam. Maybe some of Lenny's best work with this one. Welcome back, J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We didn't mention this, but Breece Hall got injured in practice earlier this morning for the New York Jets. Non-contact. It is officially going to be diagnosed as a groin strain. According to Aaron Glenn, not serious, most likely, but again, it is a groin strain, and that is tricky for a running back. He went down on the grass field without being touched, caught a swing pass in the red zone, was running toward an apparent touchdown, but he dropped to a knee a few yards from the end zone, limped to the sideline, and was examined under the medical tent before leaving for the locker room. Obviously, they opened their season in less than a month against the Titans. So they're not expected to be good, but obviously, if you don't have Breece Hall, you're going to be much worse. And he just did sign a 3-year, $43.5 million contract in May.
That's potentially big. There's potentially big breaking news up over at ESPN. We'll see what it amounts to, but I do wonder in terms of punishment if perhaps we're starting to get an indication that there won't be much of one. But there's a story over at ESPN right now. The NBA has found no evidence showing LA Clippers owner Steve Ballmer funneled money through team sponsors to pay Kawhi Leonard in order to circumvent the salary cap, according to three people with knowledge of discussions between the two sides in recent days. Instead, the NBA's focus is on whether the team's introduction of Leonard to team sponsors constitutes a violation of the league's rules prohibiting salary cap circumvention. Two of the sources said the league is examining whether the Clippers are guilty of failure to supervise employees, though it's unclear what specific rule the team would have violated or what the penalties would be, two of the sources said. That said, if they're not going to find that Steve Ballmer has directly funneled money through team sponsors, that punishment that's going to come down as a result of this, the one that the Toronto Raptors are scared of, in fact, frankly, if that's what's got this deal on pause, feels like it'll be much less, because then you're trying to find out, okay, what you're going to charge them with. Failure to supervise employees, whatever else. So this news, Don Van Natta Jr., Baxter Holmes, and Ramona Shelburne over at ESPN, perhaps it's the start of the end of at least the findings of this investigation. Maybe this is the NBA, again, not wanting to find anything major so that it can go on business as usual, get that deal done, and everything else. We don't know to the, you know, the nature of which the NBA has gone. I mean, the law firm is Watchell, Lipton, Rosen, and Katz that's been hired to do the investigation here, supposedly independent of the league. That said, pretty interesting news here, at least for now, that there doesn't appear to be any direct evidence linking Ballmer to direct sponsor payments to Kawhi.
Well, so
which
so,
he's insisted the entire time.
So my big takeaway from this is that we're probably going to have to start having a conversation about Pablo Torre. Because this is, I feel like there's multiple instances of him inferring, you know, making, you know, conclusions, or certainly implying, you know, wrongdoing, and it just not holding water. I mean, I think this is inevitably it's a bad look for Pablo Torre, because this has been his crusade. This has been, like, when you think about the Pablo Torre Finds Out show, this has been the main thing, which is aspiration and he had the partnership with that Rhode Island TV station about how Kawhi invested in a road. And again, it's not he's breadcrumbing it, right? He's not saying that this means the NBA or that this means that Steve Ballmer paid him through this, but it's like, hey, you picking up what I'm putting down kind of thing. So I think this is a pretty devastating blow for Pablo Torre. I mean, this is his show.
Yeah, I mean, the guy won a Pulitzer off this. You'd be saying, kind of throwing that away and dismissing.
Yep. Well, if there's no wrongdoing, if the NBA, unless we think the NBA,
again,
is just, you know.
Just because Ballmer hasn't done it directly doesn't mean that there's not wrongdoing in terms of how they've gone about this. They're what the NBA is trying to tie now are the introductions of him to these companies and what the charge is. But I mean, when you've awarded the man a Pulitzer for his reporting on this, which is most of which appears to have been factual, I get what you're saying is if you've had an agenda of connecting this to Ballmer and that now seems to be falling apart. But his reporting has been literally awarded the Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done well for himself. You can ask, okay, well, if your ultimate agenda was to take Kawhi or Ballmer down.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, his reporting has been pretty remarkable, in fact.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stuff that you wouldn't get. I mean, a guy that's gone off on his own, nobody's investigating this stuff. The NBA doesn't want it investigated. He's gone into a world now of trying to do something out on his own. I know he's got Meadowlark and all them involved. But,
right.
You'd have to find some real wrong in terms of his reporting to have that Pulitzer taken back to then being able to say Pablo lost in this. He's won already.
I don't know how to square it, because if the entire assertion is that Steve Ballmer did it,
right,
and then the NBA investigates and they can't find evidence of him doing it, I mean, somebody's got to be accountable somewhere,
yeah,
right? I mean, And maybe Pablo Torre has never explicitly stated that. I'd have to go back and watch every single, but he certainly at the very least implied it. But, I mean, look, it is also possible that the NBA does not want to find it, right?
Of course they don't. So, it's the richest owner in the league.
So I don't know. I mean, I think there's still a lot more we got to let play out. Today is not a win for Pablo, I would say. Like, he's not, you know, celebrating this. And at some point, he'll probably have to say something about it. Which I look forward to the response.
I would just be careful, because ESPN's in bed with the NBA.
That is true. And
they're
also
a media partner
of
the NBA.
He also is a former employee.
Right.
So I do understand that there are agendas out there.
That's what I'm saying. So I would stop short. I mean, he's been rewarded for his reporting in this. You're right. I mean, ultimately, maybe it doesn't get connected to Ballmer, but what he has said all along is that the Clippers are in the wrong. Now, again, whether that's the governor, owner himself, or whatever the heck we're calling him, but that's what I'm saying. ESPN wants this, you would think, to bed because they are a media partner of the NBA, and so there could be agendas here. You're right, too. Pablo doesn't work for ESPN. He once did. Now, they made that decision,
right.
Did they not? By not bringing him back and renewing him, and they started this, what became an independent Pablo Torre in the first place.
Yep. So, I don't know. It's out there now, but, there are always agendas. There is no question about that. And it's like, I got people in my group chat, they're like, I still believe Pablo, who knows?
He's reporting against the machine, and so, it's sometimes it gets dark when you're going up against big machine, big money. In this case, maybe the television networks themselves because of their partnership with the league. So
yeah,
that's a tough road that he's going down. And what it usually is a road you're going down solo dolo.
Right, and you just have so many different interests. If you're the NBA, you got the Raptors' interests. You got just have a lot of stuff that would motivate you to. And Ballmer is a super rich guy, so we know how this stuff goes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll see. But I'll be interested to see what Pablo Torre has to say about it. I'm assuming he will say something. So anyway, that's out there up at ESPN.com that the NBA has no evidence Ballmer funneled money to Leonard via sponsors. Doesn't mean that there is not evidence that exists. It's just they don't have it as of right now. So we'll come back, wrap this up on a Monday. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome back, J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. News in college football today as the AP Top 25, the first one of the season, was released on Monday. Of course, you were living in a time now where the AP preseason poll is probably as meaningless as it has ever been, just because for most of these teams, we have no idea, what they're bringing back, what it will all look like, how it'll come together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be interested to see who was number one in last year's preseason, number one. It was Texas. And of course, they finished 25th at the end of the season. I believe that is true. So, it's fodder, right? It's good fodder for us to, talk about and get excited about. Hey, football is absolutely here. But I don't know. Texas maybe was not even ranked by the end of it. So, who knows how it'll all shake out. LSU was top three last year in week one in the AP poll. So you just never know. You never know how it'll go. But for preseason honors, Ohio State takes the crown with Oregon right behind.
If you're looking for the national champ, according to Brett McMurphy, 19 of the past 22 years, every national champion has been ranked among the AP preseason top seven. 19 of the last 22 years. So somewhere in that top seven.
Mm-hmm.
Is your likely national champion at least 19 of the last 22 years. And another note, interesting one on Alabama. First time in 18 years, Alabama's been ranked outside the top 10.
Ooh.
Tide's number 13 ranking is its lowest since 2008.
Now that matters.
You got to go way back.
To Alabama.
When they started number 24. So you got to go way back.
Well, that would have been pre-Nick Saban, right?
Yes. Would have been pre-Nick Saban, I'm assuming, or the beginning of it.
That was the beginning.
The beginning of Nick Saban. Yeah,
second season.
2008.
Yeah.
There's a note on old Alabama being as low as they are. Hadn't been this low in a while.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that one of Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, or Texas is not winning the national championship.
A lot of folks like Notre Dame. Yeah. A lot of folks like Oregon, including Dan and Walken.
Yep.
Shares the same name with the head coach there, same first name at least. Didn't they replace both coordinators?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, yep. Okay. So we really like Lanning in this roster.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, to me, it's like, okay, Georgia has the same coordinators and the quarterback. Notre Dame has the same coordinators and the quarterback.
Ohio State is different offensive coordinator. We said that. It's Arthur now.
Now, you could argue he didn't do much if you want to do that.
But it's Julian Sain and those same receivers.
It is. Indiana feels high at six, but I get it.
It's respect.
Yep.
In some ways.
Who'd they bring in? The kid Hoover from TCU. He's pretty good.
Yeah, turns the ball over a little much. He's going to have to see how he's talking about reeling that in.
Yeah, but it's out. And so it should be a fun college football season. Memphis got two votes. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Dan Walker for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and company up next are going to break down the entire AP Top 25, I assume. So don't miss that. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.